Test.
That works. All right, so about the most recent veto cuts, what do you, you've said before that where administrations cut shows their priorities. Does that take still stand true?
Absolutely. I believe that an elected official shows where their priorities are by how they budget, because they're putting their resources that they have into different programs and organizations that they and causes that they believe in. And so if you look at the state operating budget, where the legislature put resources into K-12 education, the university, health and social services, support for low-income Alaskans to have access to legal services, all of those things show that the legislature has a wide variety of issues that it cares about in order to put its funding in those places.
How will you be voting on during the special session about these vetoes?
I think the path forward is a bit unclear in terms of how votes will be coming before the legislature, how the vetoes might be evaluated. There's not much information that's known right now. What is known is that Alaska has the highest threshold in the country in order to override a veto, which is 3/4 of both the House and the Senate in a joint session, which means out of 60 legislators, 40 in the House and 20 in the Senate, it requires 45 votes to be able to override a veto. I have said, and I continue to believe, that in addition to having a sustainable and strong and healthy permanent fund dividend every year, our region, our district, and communities throughout the state have to have access to critical essential services, which means funding our education system, making sure that Alaskans, regardless of where they live, regardless of what their income levels are, have access to affordable and quality health care, including dental, including behavioral health and treatment programs, making sure that in a time where we're talking about crime reform and public safety across the state, that that also includes rural Alaska, so making sure that the Village Public Safety Officer program has adequate public funding every year. So in addition to making sure that Alaska has a robust permanent fund dividend, we also have to have robust critical essential services that feed into the health and well-being of our communities.
So something that I've always heard is, like, if you how a member votes, especially you're in the majority coalition in the House. I've heard if you vote like against the majority coalition, that could jeopardize your committee standing or your standing. Is that inaccurate?
So the caucus in the House majority is a binding vote on the passage of the operating budget and procedural votes.
Okay. And so that means basically that's, can you explain that a little bit more in layman's terms?
So for passage of the operating budget, we've already voted to pass the operating budget.
Okay. For this budget, for the vetoes that come up, how will that procedure look like?
So the governor just announced his vetoes last Friday, and I think people are still assessing what the vetoes are, what the impacts will be to state programs and services, and the path forward from there is still to be determined.
Okay. What can we expect from you going into this special session? Are you going to be voting just solely to override the vetoes, or is there more maneuvering room? I know you've spoken about it, but I'm wondering if we could get a little bit more into concrete details of if we were in the room with you, what to expect.
So, I think what's really important in terms of talking about the operating budget and the vetoes that we've seen is really that an elected official, how they vote, how they spend resources, really shows what they believe in and what they support. And to see such devastating, historic cuts to our university system, to programs that provide senior benefits to elderly, low-income Alaskans across the state, you know, access to treatment for mental health and behavioral health and addiction treatment, to have all of those things cut so devastatingly, I think, is cause for concern. And legislators have started hearing from Alaskans across the state about the importance of these programs. We heard about it in February when the governor put forward his budget proposals. The legislature restored funding to make sure that we had really strong investments in education and healthcare and public safety. And we're starting to hear from a lot of Alaskans that are concerned about the economy and the impacts to our communities. We're not just talking about services and programs that Alaskans access. We're talking about economic impacts to our state and potentially pushing us into a recession to pay a one-time check to Alaskans. So, you know, there might be the value of programs and services that are that extend beyond 1 year's statutory formula dividend to an individual. And so until there are conversations on the table about additional revenues and incomes for the state, we have to make sure that we're balancing having a really strong permanent fund dividend and having really strong state services, which is the position that I've taken throughout session that I will continue to take into this special session.
So it's not more than just a simple override the vetoes. It's more like, is there something that you can replace the vetoes with, like a different budget proposal or something like that?
So that's not, so where we find ourselves right now is the legislature has a window of time in which we can move forward in considering veto overrides. How those overrides would be considered has not been determined. And so there's not much more that I can say right now about that, other than I don't believe that these vetoes are sound public policy. I don't believe that they're grounded in economic reality about Alaska's current fiscal condition. And I think that these types of cuts to Alaska's budget don't just cause harm, they compound harm, because there are cuts across state services that could impact Alaskans more than once. And this isn't just cuts that will have no impacts to anybody and then somebody is going to get a check from the state. These are cuts that will impact everybody across Alaska, regardless of where they live. And so, you know, I believe strongly that we need to restore much, if not all, of the appropriations that the legislature put forward in its operating budget. And, you know, the path forward from there is still to be determined, but I continue to believe that we have to have a strong, robust operating budget. From there, the only thing that's on the call for this special session is considering the what to do about the permanent fund dividend. And so, you know, it's been reported and the legislature has been polling its members to see if there's enough legislators to call ourselves into session to make sure that we can pass an operating budget and fund an operating or a capital budget, sorry. But right now we've passed a capital budget, but we've not funded it. And so there are potentially millions of dollars in capital funding for capital projects that won't move forward, which includes addiction treatment, which includes matching funds for federal transportation projects. So there's a lot of work that the legislature needs to get done that because that wasn't added to the call for special session right now, and because the legislature hasn't reached the numbers it needs to call itself into session, we can't get the capital budget on the agenda.
Okay, so the capital budget is another beast completely that still has this. So you have you have a lot of work.
Yep.
All right. I don't have anything more. Any more questions? I think that was it. So I'll just stop it right here. Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.